Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's the Morning Hookup on ESPN Lincoln. Will Wilson in with you. Bill Hook's out today. Theo Malone is in with me on his birthday. Again, happy birthday to Theo. And we didn't get him yesterday because he was at fall camp, but we got him today. Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald is joining the show right now. Evan, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. So, yeah, you were at fall camp. I was watching all the videos you were taking yesterday. Yeah, it's cool that they have those media days. You know, first 30 minutes, guys can come in and check things out. What caught your eye?
Well, I mean, first, it's not all that common that we get a chance to see those guys in action. I was thinking about it. They had one in the spring of 2021, and then they had none this past spring as they were adjusting coaches and transfers. And so it had been a year since we'd seen any of these guys in action. So I suppose one of the first things I always look at is just, you know, physically, how are guys looking? And, you know, I would say that some of the edge rushers in particular stood out physically to me. I mean, Caleb Tanner obviously has been there. O'Shawn Mathis is a physical specimen with how long he is. We've had a chance to see Garrett Nelson a little bit in interview sessions, but not necessarily on the field, and he looks the part. Blaze Gunnarsson has really, I think, strengthened his body as well, too. So, like, you see a lot of athletes there. I thought the running back position looked really good as well. I mean, Jacquez Yant has kept some of that weight off that he lost in the spring. Like, he was joking, or not really joking, but just saying he laid off the canes and the bread and all that and was able to drop a bunch of weight, and he looks still pretty good, too. So, I think that's kind of where I start, is just physically, how are guys looking? Do they look the part? And, you know, you can, it's kind of the way that it's set up. You can walk around and see different position drills, guys doing their things. I would say the offensive line was interesting because we had only seen Donovan Riola, the new assistant, in interview settings. And so having a chance to see him kind of in his element on the field, he was a much different sort of guy, I think, had a much different demeanor on the field than what he has had with reporters. So that was helpful to see too, as he's, getting after guys to drive their blockers downfield and to really be ferocious, in the trenches. So it's all just very helpful sort of to get a sense of where Nebraska is physically, see some guys in pads, or, you know, they weren't in full pads yesterday, but on the field, doing their thing. So yeah, it was good. I think we're going to have another one next week, and then, you know, obviously we'll see how much that translates over into the games after that.
Evan, obviously the position group that's going to be at the top of most of the fans' minds, you know, heading, you know, less than a month here before our first game, is obviously the quarterback position, and a lot's been put out about the infusion of talent of bringing in Thompson and also Purdy. We didn't really get to see Chuba in the spring, still kind of nursing that foot injury. But kind of what Will and I talked a little bit, I think, in the segment before we brought you on is the feeling that there's some talent in that room kind of for the first time in a long time. And, you know, whether it's Thompson or Purdy, from what you saw, are their skill sets similar enough that whether it's one or the other, that offense is pretty much going to look the same and we'll be in good hands either way?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And to your first point, I do think there's more depth than they've had in a while. I mean, you think about all the multi-year starters Nebraska's had over the last decade, really. There hasn't been a ton of backups or number twos or number threes pushing those starters. And, you know, that was the case with Adrian Martinez for the most part the last 4 years. And so you do get this sense that, you wonder if Chuba Purdy had been healthy all spring, what that competition would look like now. But there's no arguing the experience that Casey Thompson has. And if you're like if you're Scott Frost and this coaching staff and you know you have to win, you know, it's going to take something extra, in my opinion, for Chubba Purdy to take that leap, because Casey Thompson is a little bit more of a known quantity. He's played against Oklahoma. He's been in the spotlight as a starter at Texas, whereas Purdy was a backup at Florida State last year. Plus, he's got 4 years to go. I mean, you can sort of treat him almost like a true freshman, in the sense that if he were to back up Casey Thompson this year, gain that experience, you know, there's still the possibility that he could be a multi-year starter for Nebraska into the future. And then, of course, that's to say nothing for the fact that when you run a quarterback run system the way that Nebraska has, injuries inevitably will crop up. So even if it is Casey Thompson, the odds that Purdy will take a meaningful snap this season are still pretty high. So, you know, I think that's notable. And then, you know, even just beyond those two, I mean, the last quarterback to start a game at Nebraska was Logan Smothers. He's still on the roster. Heinrich Harburg got some shout-outs from Mark Whipple yesterday just for having two of his best days. And then Richard Torres, the true freshman who's in there, you know, got a little pub for his arm as well. And you have Matt Masker, by the way, who's a walk-on, sort of an on-the-field coach who's been in the system now for like 5 years. So there's a lot of depth there. There's more sort of institutional knowledge, I suppose, than Nebraska's had in a while. So even though it still feels to me like the job is Casey Thompson's to lose, and he's a fairly heavy favorite to win that starting job, you feel good about sort of the safety net behind him if for whatever reason Nebraska has to turn elsewhere during the season.
We're talking to Evan Bland. You know, the tight end group, it's interesting. Sean Becton talked about Fedoti yesterday. He said he's not going to risk anything in putting him on the field and getting re-injured. How important are, you know, Vokolek and then Chancellor Brewington here in the fall? It's a pretty interesting group, and, you know, we saw last year how important the tight ends were in Frost offense. Talk about the tight ends. Are you worried about that group at all?
Well, I think, you know, Sean Becton laid it out yesterday where it's pretty clear that they have their number one in Travis Wilcox. I think he's a future Sunday sort of football player, just with his size, with his, you know, his football knowledge. He's the son of a coach growing up. Like, you can tell he's the guy. He's a strong blocker. But it is sort of that next guy. Who is that? And ideally, you know, if health were equal, that might be Thomas Fedoni, who was the crown jewel of their recruiting class a couple cycles ago. But if it's not, and we saw him sitting on the sidelines yesterday, you know, he kind of had the look of a guy who's like a neighborhood kid looking out and seeing everybody playing and having fun and wishing he could be out there. I mean, you could just tell he wanted to be out there really badly. But if it's not Fedoni, you know, there are some interesting options, I think, behind them. I mean, Nate Borkercher was somebody in the spring, former walk-on, or I think current walk-on, who got a lot of love from coaches. A.J. Rollins is someone that the coaches like. Chris Hickman, who, if he can stay healthy, might be able to really settle into that role. James Carney is still a pretty young guy on the roster, too. So you can kind of go through the roster a little bit, and you see some guys who have potential. But I think if you're Nebraska at this moment and Travis Wilcox were not able to go for whatever reason, you'd probably be a little bit nervous about the drop off from 1 to 2. And I would say that tight end, the drop off from 1 to 2 is probably as big as it is anywhere on the roster. So, you know, number one, you're hoping for health for Wilcox and what he can bring you, and then after that, you just hope that somebody in that next group that I mentioned is able to step up and maybe take the reins as the backup.
Well, Evan, we talked about one of the positions that the fans obviously like to talk about because it's so high profile. But for me, I feel that the success of this year obviously is going to come down to the offensive line. And you lose an all-world center in Cam Jurgens. You have another offensive lineman who you were going to count on this year. Is going to have to sit out a year for suspension. But it sounded like Raiola said that everybody was there yesterday. Turner and Teddy were both at practice. You know, from a physical standpoint, I look at some of these guys, you know, like you have a handful of these guys that are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". How imposing do they look physically from what you were able to see yesterday?
Yeah, there's some big dudes, there's no doubt. I mean, they were practicing in one of the end zones at the Hawks, and so when when we're able to go in there as media, we kind of walk around the sidelines, and oftentimes the O-line is working out like 5 yards from where we walk by, and even they weren't even in full pads, and it was just like, yeah, there's definitely an imposing presence there. I mean, Bryce Benhart on the right side, 6'8", Teddy Prochaska back out there, like you mentioned, another tall dude, 6'7", something like that. Those are some big guys, and kind of like I was mentioning, there's a little bit of ferocity to it too. I mean, to hear it's kind of fun to hear some of the assistants sort of coaching up their players in the moment. And with Raiola, it was a lot of emphasis on leverage, trying to hit your blocker in the chin and push them back that way. It was about this emphasis on pushing guys 10 yards down the field, maybe well beyond what you would need, but just moving a guy, right? Like just imposing your will on another person, getting them out of position, and then opening things up for your offense. And so, you wonder how much maybe that mentality or that technique shift will register for some of the guys who've been there a while. I think Benhart's a good example of somebody who maybe could benefit from just a different voice, a different point of view, whatever it might be. And, there's some depth there, too. So it's still going to be interesting to see how that combination comes together. I mean, I agree. I feel like that's one of the biggest question marks that Nebraska has on its roster right now. It's going to be about finding the best five and then, finding a way for those five to act in concert. And it's so interesting because they all come from different places. Like you've got a sixth-year guy like Brock Bando hoping to lock down that right guard spot. You've got a former walk-on. And a current walk-on, I think, again, in Trent Hickson at center. You have a former four-star like Turner Corcoran who's been at tackle. Now they're trying him at left guard. Like there's a whole lot going on right now, and it feels like these next 3 weeks are going to be critical if they bring that unit together. Because you're right. Like if you don't have that group figured out, then the skill positions and the quarterback battles suddenly, they don't become nearly as meaningful.
Right. I got one more quick football one before I think Will wants to switch you to volleyball. Mickey Joseph talked yesterday about he thought he wants his receivers to stack days and to have good days, and he felt yesterday wasn't a good day. And Will and I, we kind of had this discussion that it's always hard to read into that, especially like spring games and practices, on whether it was the receivers having a bad day yesterday or whether it was the defensive backs having a good day. And for the secondary that lost three starters, we saw a lot of JUCOs come in. You got the transfer from Northern Iowa, also Tommy Hill transferring from Arizona State. Did the DBs look good, or the receivers have an off day? I guess I'm more interested to see what that secondary of Travis Fisher's is going to look like this year, and if there's some playmakers that are going to be able to step up to replace those two safeties and also a Cam Taylor Britt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we got to see sort of the 30-minute warm-up period. So I'm guessing some of what Mickey was saying probably occurred in some of the more scrimmage type settings after we were there. But certainly, I mean, the DBs brought it too when we were out there. There was the first play of a blocking drill had Quentin Newsome and Taman Lynam going at it, and they blocked each other out of bounds, and that fired up Travis Fisher. He's like, this is a great way to start the drill, keep it going, that sort of thing. It did feel like that they were ready to roll. Travis Fisher late last week was really complimentary of his guys, and he kind of said that he doesn't feel like there really even is a ones and a twos because there are so many guys sort of at the same level there. And so, that's a position that's interesting to me because, yeah, they're replacing three starters, but you just feel like there's some depth there. And there's continuity with the coach who lays out pretty clear expectations. There's some value in that. You feel good about Quentin Newsome stepping up as a leader at one of those corner spots. And then, there's just this mix of transfers, guys like Omar Brown, Tommy Hill, like you mentioned, and some younger guys, too, who come up in the program for a year or two, who you feel like they're going to figure it out. Miles Farmer, Braxton Clark's been in the mix. Noah Pollock Gates has been there for a few years. So, like, even if those aren't the guys that are on the field necessarily, that group just feels solid. And I think it's on a little bit more stable ground at this moment maybe than receiver is, with a new coach, with a lot more new faces. There just aren't a lot of receivers on Nebraska's roster right now who have done much in Lincoln to this point. So, you know, I think that is their challenge is, you know, hey, great, you had one good day, but if you can't back that up the next day or the day after that, then you're not feeling great going into the game when everything's on the line. So I do think that's probably a smart approach by Mickey Joseph to challenge his guys to be like, let's not be up and down. Let's find a way to be consistent because you're going to need that on Saturdays.
We're talking to Evan Bland, and we'll get you out of here on this. I was going to bring up volleyball, but actually I'm just seeing this tweet from Jeff Passan. He's saying that the Minnesota Twins are trading Cade Povich and Yennier Cano to the Orioles for Jorge Lopez. Thoughts on Cade Povich getting traded?
Wow, yeah. I'm just seeing that, too. How about that? Little live breaking news action. Well, you know, Povich obviously was great at Nebraska a couple years ago, second-round pick. He was with, I want to say, their Class A affiliate, if memory serves, but he was really good this spring. And I'm trying to look through their through the terms there. So Minnesota gets, essentially, they're giving up prospects for a closer, it looks like. To me, that's a steal for Baltimore when you're talking about Povich and a number of other guys. I always thought that Cade was a guy who projected, you know, eventually to being a pretty strong major league prospect. And so, you know, if you're getting traded in a package for a major league ready arm the way that he is right now, that probably says quite a bit in terms of what another team out there thinks of him. So good for him. Cool to see some Huskers on the move, and now we'll see how he does out there in the Baltimore system.
Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald. We appreciate the time every week. Evan, we'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Evan. There he is, Evan Bland. Follow him on Twitter, at Evan Bland. OWH. I wanted to get to volleyball, but you know, I just thought since you know he covers a lot of baseball,
he does a great job with the baseball.
That's interesting. So Cade Povich getting traded to the Orioles from the Twins. So.
Yeah, it's and you know, it's weird. Obviously, we talk a lot. You and I are Royals fans.
Yeah,
but I've always kind of just been, you know, maybe I've always rooted for the Orioles.
Really?
I just have, you know, I was always very a respectful fan of players like Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
Because those guys showed up for work every day doing a game that I love. And, you know, there's no way you could root against Cal Ripken.
No.
And then, you know, and it just for the better part of my fanhood of baseball, the Orioles have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down, you know, with Xavier's team this year and watched the Orioles and Royals play. And the Orioles players were so great to Xavier and his team were throwing balls up there. It was hard to root against them. You know, the Royals won, which was great. And then after that series, it seemed like the Orioles ripped off like an 8-9-10 game winning streak.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Orioles are one of those teams that I you know, if they made it to the playoffs, I someday, hopefully, I would root for them.
Yeah.
I really would.
I've always said Camden Yards is a stadium I want to go check out before I die. So, hey, let's take a break. We only got a few minutes left in this hour. We will wrap up the first hour when we come back.
The Morning Hookup with Bill Hooks and Will Wilson continues after this. Parents, are you tired of helping put your kids' shoes on? They're squirming, watching cartoons, anything but helping. Luckily, it's Skechers to the rescue. Introducing new hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Footwear you can just get your kids to step into and their shoes are on. You don't need to bend over. You don't need to sit on the floor and try to wrangle them on. And they're available in all types of Skechers styles with and without laces, and most are machine washable. Find Skechers slip-ins for kids or mom and dad at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even getting a dental checkup.
Mr. Carter, wouldn't you prefer the chair?
I'm fine on my bike, Doc.
Well, let me know if you feel any discomfort.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
All done, Mr. Carter. Remember to brush, floss, and lubricate your drive chain regularly.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.